Psalms chapter 78. We're going to start off this morning in Psalm 78. Normally, we go to one passage of scripture and we stay there. Today is going to be a little bit more of a topical message, and it is going to be something that obviously ties together around one central theme, but we will be looking at four different passages of scriptures, and we're going to move quickly, but I do think you'll understand the point that I think the Lord's laid upon my heart. As we'll be doing throughout the summer, and we'll continue doing through the end of August, is we're taking one topic on a Sunday and spending Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening on that specific one topic and showing different stories or different points that help talk about that specific topic or that specific story. Now, obviously, like tonight, I'm not going to be preaching, so it's only going to be Sunday school and Sunday morning. Last week, we talked about prayer. We had a really good time. I had a really good time with prayer. I know many of you were encouraging with your comments about it. And the prayer, I hope, all week long was, Lord, teach us to pray. And we spent not only Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night on it. And this coming Wednesday night, we might look at this a little bit about a story about a child in the Bible, because what we're talking about today is the next generation. If we were going to choose a title for this morning's message, it would be called The Generation to Come. The generation to come. I think we have a responsibility. God's given us a responsibility in His Word about teaching that next generation. And it's very, very important. It's very key. This morning in Sunday school, we looked at the story of Hannah and the thought of keep praying. I think one of the greatest things we can do for that generation to come is to keep praying. The difference that we need made in this generation and the next generation and generation after that is what the difference that Jesus Christ can make and what the Bible can do and the difference the Bible can. And it's easy to get worried and concerned and fret about the future. And that's what the enemy is going to try to do. They're going to try to provoke you, just like in the story of Hannah, the other wife tried to provoke her, try to cause her to fret, try to cause her to worry. And what did Hannah do? She kept on praying and she kept on praying. And so today, when we look at this, we're going to look at four different thoughts. The first thought is God wants us to teach the generation to come. Second thought is what God wants us to teach them. The third thought is the danger in not teaching them. And the fourth thing is what we are teaching them for. And there's a lot of great stories about children in the Bible. Probably not as many named characters as you think about, but there's a lot of different great stories that this past summer, we've already looked at some of them. We looked at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they were young men. And we also looked at the lad and his lunch inside of devotions. We're going to look at David this week in the devotions. It's kind of interesting that David in chapter 16, as a young person, was chosen to be king of Israel. And you think about it, and you say, well, what's so special about that? Well, it says in Acts 13:22, it says, and when he removed him, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. As a young person, his heart was after God's own heart already. I think sometimes we want to keep our young people away from so many other things, but we should encourage our young people to love the Lord. We should encourage our young people to serve the Lord. And we show them that with the lives we live. The things that we put as a preference or things that we put importance on, they're going to see that and they're going to learn that's something they want to have as an importance, or they're going to see the danger of having that as an importance. And as they get older and as they become adults, we teach them by how we live and how we act. As they become older, maybe as children and younger children, you might be able to convince them, hey, church is really important and only come every once in a great while. But as they get older and as they get teenagers, they begin to see the as they learn things. Now, they don't have great understanding until they even get older, but they see where you put the preference at. They see what you put the importance on or the emphasis on, and you teach them with your actions. You teach them with the things that are there. And I love some of the different stories that you learned in devotions this week. That's what's on those tables back there. Welcome anyone. We talk about Isaac as a young man willing to lay down on the altar for his dad. What does that have to do? Well, you think about it. As a young man, he was strong enough for them to put the wood on his back to go up a mountain. So if anything, Isaac could have at least ran away from his father. Most believe Isaac at that age definitely probably strong enough to take out a guy that was over 100. But he was willing to be bound and laid on an altar because God had told him about offering him up. He did not end up offering him, but he knew something. I think he understood that Abraham's relationship with God was sincere and was real to the point that he trusted his father to lay down on that altar. And he learned that from his father. I mean, if it wasn't real and wasn't sincere, Isaac probably wouldn't even gone to worship, or Isaac definitely wouldn't have been willing to listen to his dad. But why was he willing to do that? It's because of the fact of what he saw and knew that relationship from Abraham, the way he lived his life, that Abraham knew God, trusted God, lived for God. And when Abraham offered him or was willing to bound his son and lay him on that altar, he was willing to do it. I even think about the little maid that was Naaman's little maid. And I think that's kind of a cool story. So what do you learn from that? Well, she learned not to get bitter. Because think about it, she was captured, taken to a foreign land, and made a slave or a handmaid of a woman that was the captor's wife. And if she would have been bitter, you think she would ever told Naaman, hey, if you go to Israel, if she was bitter towards God, she wouldn't be bragging about her God. And she learned that from somewhere. And we think about David, a child after God's own heart, a man after God's own heart. And there goes time and time again, we see children and teenagers in the Bible. We think about Rhoda Peter was knocking on that door. As Peter is knocking on that door, she goes home and she goes back in and says, hey, Peter's out there. And it's like, oh, no ways Peter's out there. Peter's in jail. What did Rhoda teach them? God does answer prayers. And that's something she would have learned from them. They were there and praying, but they didn't really believe God was going to answer that prayer. They would have jumped up and said, let's go see Peter. And we teach the next generation by our lives. We teach them what's important. By our lives, do our next generation of our young people and the people, young people we know, is church important to us? They will show that by the way we live our lives. Are souls important to us? Soul winning. Does that next generation see us out? And I know we have scheduled times, and I know scheduled times are not the going to all the world, not the only thing that can be done. But do they see us interacting with others, talking to people about the Lord? Do they think that's important? It's definitely important in the Bible, and that's something our generation struggles with. But what are we passing? What are we taking on to the next generation? Here's how important I think this is. I think soul winning is important. I think talking about people to the Lord is important. And am I demonstrating that with my life? Am I demonstrating Bible reading being important with my life? Am I demonstrating a prayer life that's important to my life? And all those things combined, what am I passing on to the next generation? What is it that the next generation is going to learn from me? Are they going to learn how to sing God's praises? Are they going to learn how to serve? Are they going to learn how to give? Are they going to learn? What am I passing down to the next generation? I've been to church my entire life, not this church, obviously, but I've been to church, and I always say 9 months before I was born. I was at church, and I was always there, and I learned a lot of great things in church. I also learned a lot of things I shouldn't do in church, too. Not because somebody told me not to, but because I watched some things happen that really shouldn't happen. And so what are we passing to that next generation? And there's four classic passages about the next generation I'd like to look at today. And you say four, yeah, we're not going to take a long time on any of them, but there's four classic passages. We could have preached a whole sermon, a series of sermon on any of them, but each one of them, we are quickly going to highlight a few things. And at the end, I'm praying that God will speak to our hearts about reaching their next generation. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, it says, they brought young children to him, talking about Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. We need to reach the next generation. And when they try to tell Jesus not to bring the children to Jesus, Jesus was much displeased. Jesus loves the children. Jesus loves her teenagers. And we need to see what we're teaching this next generation. They will learn and they will develop opinions that will guide them from the rest of their lives, from the Bible we teach them and the testimonies we live by them. Once again, they have to make their own choices. But God specifically and intentionally says in his word over and over, about reaching that next generation. Now, we are going to look at some passages that speak about specifically about fathers and mothers. And you can say, oh, good, then that doesn't apply to me. No, we are taught many times about the older teaching the younger. And we are taught about how we should help those. And so today, we're going to look at the different generations. And then on Wednesday night, we might look at one of those stories about the children of the Bible. My intention was to preach cool stories about the children each and every service on this day. But the Lord kind of led our responsibility to the next generation. Psalms chapter 78 is one of those great passages. We're going to start there. We're going to start in verse number 3. Psalms 78, verse number 3. The word of God said, which we have heard and known, our fathers have told us. How many things have we learned from our fathers? I know there is many things that I've learned from my father. And there are things that we can say, well, our fathers have told us. Our fathers have told us. Verse number 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. That's where we get the title of the message, the generation to come. Now look, this is what he specifically says. This is what we should show the generation to come. The praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So verse 4 specifically, they give some highlights that we should be teaching the next generation. Verse number 5, it is made into a commandment. Verse number 6, that the generation to come might know them. This is the desire that they will actually know them. Then it continues on, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So not only they're saying that we're supposed to teach them these specific things in verse number 4, he commands it and establishes the law in verse number 5. And verse number 6, he is something that not only are we supposed to pass down to our generation, but in hopes that that generation then will pass it down to their generation, and then will pass it down to their generation. And here's the result that they were looking for. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The point of the teaching is that they will learn to put their hope in God, not hope in their money, not hope in their resources, not hope in their traditions or even their family tree, their hope in God, and not forget the works of God. The only way they're not going to forget the works of God is if we teach them the works of God. But even another step, but keep his commandments. It is all to the point is that we should be at the spot we're asking and teaching and expecting that they would keep the commandments of God. Now, the only way that we can do that is by us showing them that we are going to keep the commandments of God. In verse number 8, it says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He says, we don't want them to be like us. We don't want them to be like the previous generations that struggled. We want them to embrace and seek after even more. And I think that the only way we're going to do that is by taking some of these things seriously and by passing it on. And I often say, I want more for my sons than myself. I want my sons to grow and grow and be farther in their Christian walk than I've ever been. I'd love to see them, God even use them in a greater way than even than I scratch the surface. I want God to use not just my sons. I want God's will for the young people of our church, that God will raise up deliverers in a nation that will stand for God and that will be, as it talks about in verse number 7, they will set their hope in God, they will not forget the works of God, and they will keep his commandments. This is my desire. And as we talked about prayer last week, it's the idea I learned. And that last week, the Lord helped me a lot to understand what prayer is. I want to enter into everything that God wants for my life. And as a pastor, I desire to show the people that God has given me to enter into everything God wants for their lives. And it shouldn't be watered down. It shouldn't be overemphasized. It shouldn't be done. It should be, what does God want for your life? And this, as a pastor, is what I desire for you. That's what God wants. It is not always what our flesh wants. Oftentimes, it is not what our flesh wants. But that is my desire, and that's what I believe God's given desire for me as a prayer, is that, what does God want for your life? Pastor, I want this, and pastor, I want that. I'm fine. I'm willing to help you pray for God's will for your life, but I'm not going to be seeking God on behalf of things that go against what his word says. So it's important to understand and realize God wants us to teach the generation to come. So let's look at these verses really quickly. Verse number 4, we will not hide from them. There are certain things that people hide from their children. And we should not hide our walk with God. We should not hide what we believe in God. We should not hide showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord. The things that we praise God for, the things that we lift him up with, how we praise the Lord. He should hear how much we worship. The next generation to see us worshiping should hear us speaking about how great we believe God is, and not some type of hypocritical way or for show way, but instead to praise the Lord and teach him, I love God because of this. He was faithful with me here, and he was faithful with me here. He did this for me. And they teach them the praises of the Lord, the glorify God and how we glorify God with our life. We teach them that. But not only do we praise him, the praises of the Lord, we teach him about his strength. We teach him about that God is all powerful and that God is all knowing and that you can put your trust in him. And we teach him that he is about and if you read this, and it's a great chapter of the Bible, in verses 9 all the way down to verse 17, it talks about how God delivered them from Egypt. It talks about how he caused the waters to part. He talks about how he led them in daytime with a cloud and nighttime with a fire. He talks about how water came out of a rock. He talks about time and time and time again, God showed himself to be strong. He showed himself to be strong. And this is what we need to teach in the next generation, is we praise him for all these wonderful attributes. His strength is something you can trust in. And then you remind him what it says here, his wonderful works that he's done. So we're not just telling you to trust in a God that we say is all powerful. Go look at what God has done. Look what he did for the nation of Israel. Look what he did. And once again, at the book of Psalms, he says, look what he done for the nation of Israel through the times of the kings, through the times of the judges, through the times in the wilderness. He opened up heaven. He fed them manna from heaven. They ate the food to angels, all those different things he did. And he says, so talk about our strength. Why do we talk about his strength and just not his praises? It's because we want the young people, we want the next generation, that they will set their hope in God. They're not setting their hope in what they can do, and they're not setting their hope in what their government can do. They're not setting their hope in what their university can do for them. They are putting their hope in God. They're not putting their hope in what their friends are telling them, or even what their mentors are telling them, or even as their fathers and mothers sometimes, yes, we're supposed to obey and honor them, but they're saying here that, hey, we don't want you to be like the fathers that were stubborn. We don't want you to be like the fathers that were rebellious. They didn't set their heart aright. Their spirit was not steadfast with God. Our desire is that we teach the next generation that their heart would be right with God and that they would be steadfast with God. And where are they ever going to learn that if they don't see it from us? Where are they ever going to experience that if we do not pass that on to the next generation? And that's the commandment that's given here. And then he says, for he established a testimony. In verse number 5, he made it a law. Verse number 6, that a generation to come might know them. And not only that they would teach their children. And not only that they would teach their children's children. I don't have any grandchildren yet. My son's getting married next month. I know it'll be a while before I have grandchildren. But I want to my sons to teach their children someday, if the Lord allows them to have them, the word of God. And sometimes I look at it and I wonder, did I teach them enough? Because they're going to be teaching my grandchildren someday. And someday they're going to have great-grandchildren and then great-great-grandchildren. I want, the Bible is real to me. My relationship with God is real with me. I want that passed down and passed down and passed down. I want that to come. So where does that come from? That comes from us living a life and us teaching them and showing them these things. So my desire is that they will set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, and keep his commandments. Okay, so that's the first thing, is God wants us to teach the generation to come. I think that's very plainly put there. If you went down and you read, you would see different passages of scripture where they did not believe in God and they did not trust in God. They tempted God and they did all these things. See, doesn't everybody do that? No, it actually, let's go down to verse number 18. Actually, verse 17. They sin yet more against them by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking for meat upon for their lust. And yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And even though God did so many different wonderful things, they chose not to believe. They were that rebellious, stubborn generation. We need to pray that we're not that rebellious, stubborn generation. We need to pray that we will have our heart right with God. We need to pray that we would be steadfast with God. So that's the first point. God wants us to teach the next generation. Second point is what God wants us to teach them. And there were some things that were here, but it says here in verse number 5 that he appointed a law in Israel, which commanded her fathers that they should make them known. So one of the laws they taught them was found in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. So that's where we're going next. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, that is where we see one of the things that they were supposed to teach their children. Deuteronomy is towards the beginning of your Bible. It's just a few books in, well, more than a few, but it's Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, there is, once again, it is written to fathers and written to parents, but I believe that it's the same thing that we are supposed to be teaching the next generation, no matter what children you have or do not have, grandchildren that you have. What are we passing down? What are we teaching is important to our families? I know people say, I want to teach family is important to family. I agree, family is important, but God must be the highest and most important thing we give to our children. We want them to teach their hope in God, not just their hope in their family, because family will fail, families will change, families will disappoint. But if we teach them to have their hope in God, you know what's going to happen? God will not fail and God will not disappoint. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and judgments that the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. So this is something that they're saying is for everyone. It's not just for the fathers, but specifically it says for the fathers to teach them to their children, but also it is something that's for all of us. And look at the purpose, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it. So here's the point. He says, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So this is the scripture here. There's one God, and he's supposed to be Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which shall swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. It says, and continues on in verse number 11, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive tree, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then lest beware thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of the bondage. Now, here's the point is, God teaches them, this is what I want you to teach your children. Not only do I just want you to talk about or take them to his church, or obviously in that day, the tabernacle, that they would learn this from other people. No. I want you to teach your children, and not only do I want you to teach your children, I want you to do it when they're sitting down. I want you to do it when they're lying down. I want you to do it when they're walking. I want you to do it when they're sitting in the house. When he says, I want you to bind them upon, shall be frontlets between thine eyes, is I want them to write them upon the post of thy house, on thy gates, all the time, everywhere. I want you to teach them something. What does he want us to teach them? That you need to love God. And look at the command there. It's verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee to say shall be in thine heart. It's something that means something to us. It's in our heart. And this is something that he wants us to teach us. This is something he wants us to learn. I want you to learn to love God supremely. Love God more than anything else. With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all your might, all everything. This is what I want you to teach your children. This is the number one priority in your life. And I don't want you to just do it when you go to the tabernacle or when they see the priest. I want you to it with your lives, when you're sitting down, when they're lying down, and there's different times you can sit there, when they're eating, when they're going to bed, when they're walking and you're taking a journey, everything, every time, all the time around you, learn different things. I love God and I want you to love God. This is how you love God. This is how you put a priority in your life. This is why God is first, and you begin to teach them and show them those things. That's what he wants us to teach him. Now, I know there is more things than that when it talks about it, but if we love God, we're going to have no problem when it says in verse number 7, thou shalt teach him diligently unto thy children. And that's how we should keep his commandments. We should keep them diligently. Do you keep God's commandments diligently? Does your children, and you say, well, my children's 40 or 50. I have people all the time say, oh, you're so young. I have children older than you. Okay, but do those children, do they see you loving God? Do they see that passion and compassion? It's a commandment we saw in Psalms 28, 78. We see now what he wants us to do. That's your children going to learn how to love God from your lives? Are they going to see that passion that you have for the Lord? Are they going to see that from the way you live and how you sing and how you serve and how you talk to them about the Word of God and how you read the Word of God with them, how you discuss the Word of God with them? This is what we're passing down to the next generation. We're all worried about the next generation. We look at it and wonder, what in the world is the world going to be like in 30 years or 60 years if they continue to be taught the same way and continue to have these things pushed upon them in schools and pushed upon and with the media and pushed upon them with the liberal, and they're taught to challenge everything and not learn anything from the generations that came before. It's all, you shouldn't listen to them. They don't know what they're doing. They had this problem. They had this problem. And many times the generations today don't want to learn anything from the generations that came before them. But the one thing that will be something they can learn and understand and something that they will never get away from, because the Holy Spirit of God will remind them, is that they have a mother or they have a father or they have people in their church family who love God and showed that they loved God and cared about him and lived for God, and they stood for God and they were steadfast with God, and there are people in their lives that were sincere and they were real. They weren't talking bad about one another. They weren't pushing their own agendas. They loved God and they loved God extremely, and you can't hide that. That is something that is evident. That is something that is clear. That is something that's shown in someone's life. It is something that is real. You can look at certain people and say, you know what, that's a real Christian. You know, that's supposed to be a normal Christian because, in fact, they love God, and that's the way we're supposed to be. Do they see that in us? Do they see that in our lives? Do they see that as an importance? What are we teaching the next generation? The third thing I want you to see is there's danger in not teaching the next generation. Go ahead and go to Judges chapter number 2. Judges chapter 2 is not that far on your right there. You just keep on. You keep on probably 50 pages, 75 pages, and you'll probably get to Judges. Depends on what size Bible you have and what size print. But Judges chapter number 2. In my Bible, it's page number 338, whatever that means. I don't think anybody has the same type of Bible I have, but 338. And there's a danger in not teaching the next generation. In Judges here, it talks about how just one generation away from seeing God do some miraculous things, it says they didn't know God at all. We need to pass this along. We turn around and say, people don't know God anymore. Our children don't know God. And sometimes they know facts, but isn't the greater desire that they would want to walk with God and know God and love God and understand God? And you're going to, once you have a love for God, you're going to learn the facts, but it's that personal relationship that you have with him that you want to grow closer to him. Look what it says in Judges chapter number 2. And we'll go to verse number 10. Actually, we'll go down verse number 6 to talk about Joshua for a second. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So it says that the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord and that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And look at this, what it says in verse number 10 through 12 is some of the saddest verses in all the Bible. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. So that means that Joshua's generation, the generation that we see in verse number 7 that saw all the great works of the Lord, all the things he did in the wilderness, all the things he did in conquering the promised land, that generation gathered unto their fathers, meaning that they passed on. And there arose another generation after them. So there was another generation that came after that generation. Look how it's described, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bound themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. See this. One generation that had passed off on the scene, the next generation that comes says, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I mean, how amazing is that? One generation away, they had forgotten about God. Something did not get passed down. Something that did not happen. That the generation, verse number 7, it talked about all the great works. They had saw all the great works of the Lord that he had did for Israel. And now they had done all these great works. And now the next generation comes on the scene and says they don't even know God. And they not only do they not know God, nor yet the works which he had done, they didn't teach him about God's works. That more importantly, they didn't teach him about their God. They didn't teach him who God was and didn't teach him the importance of God. He said, well, that's Joshua's job. Well, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made the decision for them. But there was something that was lacking. There was something that was coming apart. There was something that happened. There was a generation that experienced and saw so many great and wonderful things for God. And now this generation doesn't even know God. And I hear people all the time talk about the good old days and say, well, God worked really mighty here, and God really worked mighty here, and God did this, and God did that. And now it seems like no one even knows God. We need to pass that on. They need to see sincere Christian living that says, hey, God, we need a hope in God. We need to talk about the praises of God. We need to talk about his strength, and we need to show people what he did in my life and show victory in our life and show them that God is real to me and God is working in my life and God is accomplishing things in my life and I am living in a victorious Christian way. It's hard to teach somebody about the power of God when we're living according to the flesh. Oh, God can do this in your life, but then they see you struggle with sin after sin after sin. They see you struggle with faithfulness. They see you struggle with being the works of the flesh. And no one is perfect. Obviously, we all know that. But at the same time, what are we teaching that next generation? It says here that one generation away, and they didn't know God anymore. What are we showing that next generation? Let's go now to Psalms 127. And what are we teaching them for? Psalms 127. This is the last passage. In Psalms 127. Some people say, I want to teach them to do good. I get that. Don't get me wrong. We want to teach our children to do good. One of the songs tonight, this song they learn during Vacation Bible School, Do Right. And we want them to do right. That's for sure. But here, it says in Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so giveth his beloved sleep. If God's not the one that's in charge of your family, it's all in vain. Well, I want them to know, I guess want them to have a little bit more than we have. And I want to teach them this and that. That's great. If that's all scripture, if that's all based around the word of God. But if God's not the one in charge of your heart and God is not the one in charge of your life, what you are passing down to them is something that's watered down. We need to teach them to hope in God, not forget his works, but to hope in God, and that God needs to be working in our lives so it can be shown and demonstrated to that world that there is a God that can make a difference. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. There are a lot of good people doing a lot of good things out there, but it's vain because it's going to come to naught unless God is the one building the house. Verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The children that God has given us a chance to influence. Specifically, I think it's talking about children, obviously talking about parents there, but the children that God has given us to influence, whether through a church family, whether as a school teacher, whether as somebody in your bus routes, teams you coach. If it's not God working in your heart and God working in your life, you might teach them a lot of wonderful, nice things, but what they need is God. What we need to pass down to the next generation is that they would set their hope in God and that they would know his works and that they would keep his commandments. That is what the hope was in chapter 78. And look what it says in verse 8:4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You think about that. It's giving this image, and I know this image probably will not go over well with everybody, but it's the idea that a child is someone you train, someone you sharpen to enter the work of the Lord. It doesn't mean that they all have to go into a full-time ministry. No, but we're all supposed to be full-time Christians. It is a spiritual battle that's out there, and sometimes we are building and we are making and we're working towards someone's kingdom, but it's not God's kingdom. We need to teach them that this is a spiritual war and a spiritual battle that's out there, and this is something that we must engage in, not just make them good Americans. We want to make them good Christians. We want to make them warriors for the Lord. It says here, as arrows, talking about the children, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth, is that God is training us. And that as we train young people, it's to do the fight of the Lord, to work the work of the Lord, to do God's will for their lives. I mean, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He fought a fight. Are we teaching our young people? And sometimes we want to keep them away, but there's spots in the Bible that talks about the children going up and talking to the enemies. And once again, I'm good with keeping people, sheltering and wanting to keep them away from the world and keep them away from things that are wicked. I understand all those things, but they will have to learn to stand for what they believe and why they believe it and how to explain it. It's going to have to come real. It's going to have to come sincere to them. But who are they going to learn it from? They're going to learn it from those that are sitting with them, discussing the word of God, those that are walking with them, discussing it. It says that when they're lying down, you put it on the post of your house, you put it everywhere so they can't get away from it. You say, Pastor, you're trying to brainwash them. No, I'm trying to get them to love the Lord, and they got to see that somewhere, and they don't see it from us. Where are they going to see it from? If they don't see it from me as their pastor, where are they going to see it from? If they don't see it from the assistant pastor, where are they going to see it from? If they don't see it from my wife or my family, if they don't see it from our deacons or their families, if they don't see it from our teachers, if they don't just see it from regular people inside their church, where are they ever going to see it from? Is that what you're passing on? I love the Lord so much. I'm trusting him with my life. And I want you to trust him with your life too. That we would pass that down to the next generations. I know we're concerned for our families. Some now your children are out of the house, concerned for our grandchildren, and sometimes even their great-grandchildren. Keep praying like we learned earlier. Live a life that God's going to be able to bless. So what type of life is that? Go back to the Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. This is the Christian life they bless. Be that city that's set upon the hill. Be that candlestick in your own inside your own home. Be that city as a group that's set on the hill for your community. Live for him. Pass it along. I see the children of the Bible, and I wonder what Daniel's parents must have been like, or at least someone mentored Daniel, someone mentored this person, or someone mentored, because you see them overcoming some of the basic sins, like the little girl that was Naaman's wife's handmaid. If she was bitter towards God and was angry towards God, she would never said anything about her God. That God, she believed that God could heal them from leprosy, but she was okay with being a handmaid or a slave to a mistress. To me, that's kind of, it's amazing that she trusted in God. And she said, hey, if you were there, God could help you. So what are we passing? As I mentioned, I've been in church for many, many years, not this church, but in church many, many years of my life. As a child, I watched certain people and I learned how to do certain things. I learned certain things that other people had to just turn around and say, well, that's just how they are. They were passing along a bad attitude. Also got loved by people, and they passed along that they loved someone that rode the bus that probably didn't always act right like me. I learned about faithfulness from certain people that taught the same Sunday school class for 20 or 30 years, taught my brother, taught the generations after that. I learned different things that were passed down. What are you passing down today in your life? Ask God to reveal it unto you. God, I want to pass down something that this generation can hold on to. I want to show them a love. Is there something I'm waning in? Is there something, are you teaching them how to talk bad about other people? Some people have learned to talk bad about the preachers from their homes, but not learn to talk good about God. That's just the way it happens. Some have learned how to love God with all their hearts. And others have learned to come to church on Sunday. And like I said, we could let God do the work in your heart and your mind, but what are you passing down? You say, Pastor, I'm doing the best I can. Okay. If the Lord says that, that's fine. But the Bible teaches us that He wants you to teach Him to love your Lord, the God, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. It's found in a couple different times. It's kind of tied all together. That was His commandment. This is what I want you to teach that generation. And I didn't learn that from a lot of people. I learned it from some. But there's some people, I'm going to teach them how to do this or teach them how to do that. I learned a lot of things from a lot of different people growing up. But I want to pass that to the next generation to love the Lord. Are we passing that? If not, let's get on our faces and say, God, this next generation needs it. And I know there's different age groups. I turned 50 this month. I know I look a lot younger, but it's a joke. I turned 50 this month. Some of you are in your 70s. Some are in 80s. Some are in your 90s. Some are in your 60s. But you go down, some are 40s. Some are 30s. Some are 20s. Some are teens. Everybody has something you can pass that next generation. Teenager singing tonight with a bunch of children. What does that teach them? You know what? Singing for the Lord. That's something I'm going to show them. That's important. What do we teach them when we're out on visitation? I love the Lord. I want to tell other people about it. And once again, it's not even about a scheduled visitation. It's about somebody seeing that you love the Lord and talking to them about it, somebody else about it. Talking to one another. I'm not perfect. I like to say that I have checked all these boxes and I'm teaching just from experience. I'm teaching from God's conviction that I want to do better and I need to do better. And I'd want to pass along that a love for souls and a love for those that are down and out and a love for my church family, and a love for those that may seem like they're succeeding. I want to teach people that love God with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That's what we want to pass down. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep on trying to do it. But the one thing what preaching does many times for me is it helps us understand where we are and not to fool ourselves. Don't say, hey, I'm teaching this next generation everything I need to. No, let a sermon like this say, you know what? I could probably do a little bit better. I should teach this next generation more about faithfulness by being faithful, about serving, by a good spirit and a good attitude, by having a good spirit and a good attitude. And let God work on your heart. All of us struggle with different things, but don't use that as an excuse. Next generation doesn't need to hear excuse. They need to see someone who loves the Lord. Next generation does not need to see fakeness or hypocrisy. They've seen that enough from churches. And that's why many times they run from churches, because it wasn't sincere where they were at. And they go looking somewhere else. We don't want that. Now, do they make up excuses? Do good people leave sometimes? Yes. Do people who are fleshly leave sometimes? Yes. But let's not be the excuse why somebody leaves. Let's pass down the love we have. And if we don't have that, then let's ask God to give it to us and see it as an important thing. God, I don't love you like I should. And I told the Lord today, God, I was going through those verses. God, I want to love you better. There's things I don't want to make a priority in my life. I want you to be the priority. I want to enter in everything you want for me. But I want to teach that to the next generation. Is this what God wants for you? This is what I only want what God wants for me. That's why I don't do this, this, and this. Is this what God wants for you? Because that's what I want to show you. But the only way I can do that is when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Let God work in your heart today. Ask him what you're teaching the next generation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that is the greatest thing we can pass to that next generation. And I know to this morning's message did not talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ specifically, but Lord, I know you can work in someone's heart. And Lord, I pray that you would convict the heart of the individual that's here today or individuals that are here today about their need for salvation, that they would come forward. And Lord, that they would learn how to be saved. And Lord, that they would repent and call upon you. And Lord, I pray that you would, to those that are believers today, I know today's message is challenging. And I know today's message is something that's personal. And I know that the response might not happen quickly. But Lord, that we would ask what we are teaching that next generation. And that we would sincerely search and ask that. Not be fleshly about it. Not because it came from the preacher or thinks that we're talking about some individual or one specific person. Lord, I know how you worked in my heart. I want to pass on to the next generation someone who loves God and desires God's will for his own life and wants that in his family's life and his church family's life. And God, that you would work in our hearts about what we're passing and that we would be honest with ourselves and if there's something we need to change, we would change it so we would no longer pass it any longer. But Lord, that you would teach us how to deal with things that we struggle with so we do not pass that to the next generation. Instead, we would have a church, as the Bible talks about, one that is bearing the fruits of the Spirit, one that is working with one another, one who has a love for one another, one who is trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Well, I know we failed in some areas. Reaching out to this community, Lord, is something we can do better. And we need to teach that to our next generation. But the only way we can do that is by reaching out ourselves. Lord, convict our hearts with that. Lord, we need to teach our young people the importance of church by being faithful. Lord, teach us to be faithful. Lord, teach us with our relationships inside of our church that there's something greater than us and that we would keep praying and that we would let God work and not let people provoke us, but to put you first. God, that they might put their hope in God, remember his works, and keep his commandments. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.